Word of God here on this Christmas day. Again, as we do think about God's unspeakable gift that He gave in His Son, Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 1, let me turn there. Read just a few verses here this morning. We'll continue with this. Start. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. The Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, I love you. Lord, we certainly do thank you for what took place 2,000 years ago. And Lord, when we think back in all of creation, you knew what had to take place even before you created the entire universe. Before you created Adam and Eve, you knew what they would do in the garden. You knew that sin would separate us from you. And you knew the tremendous price that would have to be paid if mankind was to be redeemed back to you in order to satisfy your justice, your holiness, and your love. And Father, we thank you. We thank you for that, for sending your Son, God in the flesh. Lord, as we take a few minutes here, I pray that you'd bless, you'd work on hearts, Lord, that you would draw men unto yourself. Lord, please fill me with your Spirit. I pray and ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. I knew growing up I had several favorite different Christmas presents growing up that I got. And it was always an exciting time. Usually we opened ours up very early Christmas morning, like at about 1 a.m. And I grew up in Catholic, so we'd go to Catholic Mass on Christmas Eve night and then get home midnight to 1 a.m., and then it was Christmas morning. We were allowed to open up presents that night. And I remember when I was 7 or 8 years old, it was called You Drive It. I'm going to look one of these things up on eBay, I think, and buy it. And I used this thing so much, I don't think it lasted a month. It was this little thing you set on your lap, you had a steering wheel with it, and you drove this little car around these little roads in there. I just thought it was the neatest thing. Different gifts came out later on that I really loved, from the Atari 2600. Spent way too many hours on that thing as video games are being introduced. And even this Christmas, I've got one of my favorite. I think it was Rachel and Josiah got me this shirt. It's called the Sterminator. I thought that was pretty good. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It'll be underneath all of my white shirts that I have on all the time there. My brother, and this one's special to me, my brother, he makes pins. He doesn't do it for a living, but he does it by just as a hobby. He has the machinery set up in his house. And this one I thought was really neat that he sent to me. He had special ordered the wood for this pin. He sent a letter with this. And the wood was taken this year from a tree in Bethlehem. It was cut down from a tree in Bethlehem, and he used that wood to make me this pin. So I think I really appreciated that. Writing my sermons from using a pen where the wood was used from Bethlehem. And I certainly appreciate that. Mary Ann has a lady in the church here who the past 2 years now has given her a gift. It's just a beautiful box, and as she opens it up, there's 7 individual presents that are wrapped inside. And each present is for each day of Christmas week. And so she can go in. There's one marked Monday, Tuesday, each day of the week for Christmas week. And really, our salvation, God's unspeakable gift, is very similar to that type of present. It just doesn't do one thing. It's just not simply about salvation, although we're going to see that that certainly is the purpose of it, the priority of it. is the salvation of the soul, but it does so much more. There's so much more that God gives you in that gift of salvation, that unspeakable gift of His Son that is there for you each and every day. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, I believe it's verse 12 of that chapter, that we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. That's not saying to work for your salvation. It's saying God gives us so much when He sent His Son here to this earth. It's much more than just saving our soul from hell. He gives us quite a lot with it. In our text, we have events that took place, of course, 2,000 years ago when God's unspeakable gift to mankind was given to this world, His Son, Jesus Christ. It was a day that most of the world, even during that time, knew nothing about. The reality is only a handful of people really knew about it that night. Mary and Joseph, the shepherds that were abiding in the field. It really wasn't until a little bit later when the wise men came and found Jesus Christ. He didn't come with great fanfare. He didn't come to thousands that were coming to worship Him when the Creator came to this earth. He didn't come, you know, seeking a great political office. You think where He was born, in this small town called Bethlehem, born to this meager couple, laid in a manger when He was born, a place used to feed livestock. It was an amazing, humble beginning to the One who would change the world. And change the world He absolutely would. Even when you think about another piece of evidence to the truth of Jesus Christ, just what He did in that short time frame is incredible. Think about this. His ministry lasted 3 years. That's it. Up until He's 30 years old, he just remained unknown. But around 30 years old was when He began His ministry. It lasted a very quick and short 3 years. The greatest distance He traveled would have been about 106 miles. That's it. Never exceeded that. He traveled that a total of maybe three times, somewhere between 90 and 106 miles would He have traveled that three times. While He was on the earth here, He never wrote a book, never wrote poetry, wrote a song, stayed in that little tiny place. Most of His ministry that 3 years was in this little place called Galilee. And yet He changed the world. Why? This was no ordinary man. It was the Son of God. He was God's unspeakable gift to this world. Tonight I want us to look at this unspeakable gift, the greatness of this gift that all men need and have to have. First off, this is a gift that gives life. The earthly life you have right now, of course, is temporal here on this earth. Your soul is eternal. That's going somewhere. Death literally means a separation. Death occurs biblically when the soul separates from the body. God came that soul of yours might have eternal life. What we mean by that is it's not separated from God. Eternal life is not found outside of Jesus Christ. As I was preparing this, I thought back to middle school and high school, and we would study different men in history, such as Ponce de Leon, who was trying to find the fountain of youth. If I remember right, he was searching for that being in Florida. He got word that there's a fountain of youth in Florida, and boy, he was going to find this eternal life. Scientists today are searching for it left and right, some way to stop aging. We have people right now who have enough money that are freezing themselves in liquid oxygen, just believing that one day they're going to figure out how to bring them back. Again, and within our medical and our scientific community, we're spending millions and millions and millions trying to stop this aging process. They fail to realize that this aging process came to pass in Genesis chapter 3. It was introduced because of sin. The reason why I have to use these glasses, I don't know how, there's some days I wake up and my eyes work pretty good. I'm right in the process of needing them all the time. Other days I wake up, I look down, I'm like, oh, wow, got to find my glasses. My hair is turning loose and turning gray. I sat down. This first time ever happened to me. I sat down after that play part, and my back tightened up. I was like, oh, my goodness. For about, I don't know, like 2 minutes there. Just, I'm getting old. It's all a result of sin. and eternal life is only found through Jesus Christ. This gift is the greatest need that any one person has. One day your soul will be judged. Understand that. Judgment day is coming. There will be a day, as Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 tells us, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You will stand before your Creator, and He will judge you. And the reason why Christ came to this earth, because when you stand at that judgment, you are guilty. God is not going to weigh your good works and your bad works. That's not how this thing works. He's going to judge you whether you have broken His law or not, and every single one of us has broken His law. We'd be found guilty at that judgment. That is why Jesus Christ had to come to this earth, because of the reality of that judgment and the wrath to come. You see, something had to happen to satisfy the holiness and the justice of Almighty God. The only way that was going to happen was through Jesus Christ. Him becoming a man. Him leaving the glories of heaven and clothing Himself in this robe of flesh to live as a man on this earth. Which He did. The only person who has ever walked on the earth who the Father could say, I find no fault. You're innocent. Without sin. He, in other words, think about that. He is the only one who could stand at that judgment and be found innocent. The only one. And you see, understand this. He lived that perfect life in your place. Because what He wants to do is be able to give you as that gift, that righteousness that He lived here on this earth. He wants to provide that to you so that when you stand before God, what God sees is the life that His Son lived on the earth. Perfection. And at the same time, not only does that satisfy the requirements of God's holiness, but He also satisfied the requirements of His justice. That's what the cross was all about. He was taking your place in judgment. That cross was God the Father judging Him in your place. Death did not hold Him, though. After 3 days and three nights, He arose again from the dead. If God judges you and sends you to an eternity in a lake of fire, you're not God. You're not coming out of there. And if we, through repentance and faith, will come to Him, you'll have that gift that provides life. It provides life. And again, it's a gift that doesn't end. It provides it for an eternity. Not only does the gift provide life, but the gift changes us. The gift has the ability to change you and turn you into the person that God would have you to be. It's through this gift that the Lord, through His Holy Spirit, can allow change in your life. You can go to the library. Men and women are seeking change. They can recognize the faults that they have and the habits that they get into. They want to break them. They want to get away from it. And yet the Lord offers the power and the strength through that change through His Spirit that comes with conversion. Again, this is a gift. As soon as you trust Him, that eternal life is open. You have it. It's not something you will have. It comes the very moment you repent and put your faith in Christ. But there's so much more with it. There's something for you every single day. I often wonder what my life would be like had I not given my life to the Lord. Had I never heard the gospel and put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have no doubt whichever direction I would have went, it would have been vanity. Maybe I would have followed my dad's direction and given myself over really to the lust of the flesh. The things of this world, and that is it. Maybe I would have chosen the route of my grandfather, putting my energy and everything into a professional field and into a career. Either of those would have been such vanity. I wonder, would I still be married? I think Marianne would have threw me out a long time ago. She's right back there. I know I wouldn't have children that are serving the Lord right now. But I do wonder, what would my children look like? I certainly look at amazement at what God has done in my life. how He's protected me, how He's helped me to make right decision, gave me the boldness that I've needed when I've needed it, when God has showed mercy and grace to me when I've needed it. All of this came with salvation. That day when I get up and I need some grace, it's there. It's there. When I need some strength, it's there. But you know what? If I don't open it, it doesn't help me. Marianne can leave those gifts in that box. If she doesn't open them, it's not there. The gift, when it changes us, it changes your perspective on life. When I was in PNG, somebody had sent me a book. I tried to remember who, and I cannot. I can't remember the name of the book, even though it was a fairly profound book. It wasn't that big, only about 150 to 200 pages. And it dealt with primarily men in American history that God had used to change things. And I remember as I read that book, I really couldn't put it down, just reading page after page. And it was one of those books, they're my favorite types of books to read, that when I finish them, it changes my perspective on how I view life. And that was one of those. We all have different events or things like that occur at times that do change our perspective on how we see things. But nothing affects perspective like the gift of salvation. Nothing. You see, when you come to meet Christ, you begin to see the vanity, really, of everything else outside of Him as the Creator. I think of the Apostle Paul when he was on that road to Damascus, the man who was a religious elite, who had given his life to God, clueless up to this point that it had all been vanity, that he had been wrong. Even persecuting those who are following Jesus Christ. And then as he's on that road and he's knocked down and that bright light is around him and he hears that voice and the reality sets in that it is Jesus Christ Himself. And it hit him. Everything I have been living for is wrong. My perspective of life has been wrong. I have believed a lie for all of these years. And he knew if he puts his faith in Christ, he would be ridiculed. He would be mocked. Of course, he would lose his position immediately. His family would have nothing to do with him. But again, the man doesn't hesitate. He saw what it was all about. Do you think Zacchaeus' perspective changed when he came to know the Lord? I mean, he was living for money. That was all it was about. How much can I get? He had the publican thing down. I mean, he knew how to gain everything, build the houses. He had all that down pat. But when he found the Lord, it changed his perspective on life. He saw it differently now. He realized life wasn't about him. It wasn't about these 70 to 80 years that we happen to be on this earth. It was about the Creator. It was all about Him. And it changed him. If you have trusted Christ in true repentance and faith, then this certainly needs to change your perspective. We need to avoid things, by the way, along these lines. Let me just throw this out here. This is important. Please listen. Avoid the things that try and change your perspective away from God. They want to change how you view life. Be careful of that. We saw how this gift changed the shepherds. They had a whole new perspective of life. It wasn't simply about raising sheep. It was about the King of Heaven and the King of the universe. Even some, when they heard the truth and denied it, it sort of changed them as well. I think of Herod. And the rage and the anger that he went through to the slaughter that he produced there and killing all those young children. We can go on, the gift changing Mary and Joseph, to even personal testimonies of those in here where the Lord Jesus Christ changed your life. I mean, the founding pastor of our church has a tract called From Mercenary to Missionary. It changes your perspective on life. And Christian, if you have put your faith in Christ,
and you've lost that perspective, the key word for you is to repent. Get that right. The gift also provides what we need. The gift also provides what we need. It can provide, as I've already mentioned, strength when you need it. When we all have times in our life when we think we just can't take it anymore, and yet God gives the strength that is needed. It's one of the great things about salvation. You know, as a Christian, we don't have to turn to a bottle to forget our problems. We don't have to turn to drugs. We don't have to sit in front of a stinking television and go blank to the world around us as we're simply being amused, which simply means not to think. To forget about the world around you, to just get absorbed in a fantasy world so you don't have to think about the reality of life. As a Christian, what comes with salvation, we don't have to do that. When we need strength, when we need help, we can go right to the Lord. It can provide comfort when it's needed. We all have times in our life when sadness and grief can certainly hit us and overwhelm us. And yet the Lord can be right there to provide the comfort that is needed. I don't have to go and find that comfort through sin or anything else. The Lord is there. I remember the night again when my father had passed away and sitting in my office and the grief just hitting. And yet the comfort that came from the Lord as I'm sitting on an island on the other side of the world. And again, the key of all of this for the Christian is to open up what God has given you. To work out your salvation. You know, we sing the song, "Oh, what needless pain we bear," all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. I mean, we think of verses like in Romans chapter 8 that talk about He who gave us His own Son, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? When He gave us the unspeakable gift, He had not only in mind the salvation of your soul, but your very fellowship with Him as the Creator. We have received so much more than just salvation. Not only did He save my soul, but the Bible says He made me a child of God. He didn't have to do that. A child of God. But as many as received Him, Jesus Christ, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. This isn't dealing with as in many of the cults like to take it, that now it's a pride thing that we're going to be God. Of course not. What it's showing us is the love that He wants to, as He puts it in Romans, in the book of Romans, to make us a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. That He wants to, as what was the only part of His creation that was created in His image. That He created us for this fellowship and to share these things with us. I mean, I can't wait to get to heaven to see what all He has prepared for us. To see New Jerusalem. You know, think about it. We experience that on our own level because we're created in His image. I mean, when we see something that's amazing, when the stars are out at night or you see the mountains in a different way, you just don't want to look at that by yourself, do you? You want to call your wife? You want to get your children? As I said, I don't know how many times my kids can tell you, I would get them out of bed at 2 in the morning just to go look at the stars. Say, look at that. I mean, I would go out there and see it. Maybe I was shutting down the generator or something like that and be like, wow, they got to see this. Well, the Lord's the same way. It's the same way. Salvation not only saves our soul, it gives us the purpose, our very purpose of life changed. It gives us what we need. This Christmas, as we think about God's unspeakable gift with His Son, please think of what all He has provided with Him. Maybe you're here today and what you need is salvation, which is the priority of it, which is the primary purpose of it, is the salvation of your soul. Maybe you've already experienced that. But maybe you've been holding on to things and carrying things that you just shouldn't. It's right there. it comes with so much more. It's the gift that keeps on giving. He provides what you need. Maybe today you need to come and pray to Him and ask Him maybe for strength or grace or whatever's going on. And take your need to Him. Again, let us think about God's unspeakable gift that He gave through His Son. With every head bowed and every eye closed,